This episode is dedicated to Alexis Bunny Martin, Gloria Adams, Emmanuel Perry, and Anthony Smith. Grief never ends, but it changes. It's a passage, not a place to stay. Grief is not a sign of weakness, nor a lack of faith. It is the price of love. Author unknown. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Songs of Solomon podcast, and I am your host, Solomon. And I am joined by my favorite guest, the lovely, beautiful, talented. Y'all hear my stomach rumbling? she makes me hungry. My lovely wife, Tori. What's up, baby?
Hi, honey. How are you today?
You know how I'm doing. I've been with you all day.
I know. I figured.
You're not just making conversation. Hello. So it's been a year. It's been a minute since we've done this.
Yeah,
so
it's been a while.
But it's been a very interesting year. Mm-hmm. This episode, we are titling it Grief. What's the deal? It's been a rough year. Blessed, but it's been a tough year.
Yeah.
You want me to start or you want to start?
Yeah, no. You go ahead. So what's been going on?
So for me, this year started off pretty good. I turned 40, beautiful thing. March, had some interviews for assistant principal positions, and I was in an interview, and my phone kept going off. This is in March, and it was one of my line brothers, and it just kept going off. So once I left the interview, I was actually about to call him back to yell at him, like, dude, what you calling me so much for? And I had a voicemail and some text messages. And one of the text messages was from one of my other line brothers. And he was telling me that our line brother, Emmanuel, had passed. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel, you know, is a very healthy guy in his 30s. And he's got two beautiful kids and a lovely wife. And it was just a shock for everyone, you know, yeah. God-fearing man. And it's like, you just don't expect stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And that was tough. That was tough. That was really hard. Like I said, I started the year with my 40th birthday. You threw me a wonderful party where a lot of my friends that I hadn't seen in a while, my nearest and dearest,
awesome.
Yeah, they showed up and it was beautiful. And one of the guys that was there I hadn't seen in a long time was my homeboy Aunt Anthony Dale Smith. Yeah, he'd probably kill me if he knew I said his whole name. But he showed up and I hadn't seen him in it'd been a minute. You know, we talk, you know, frequently, but I hadn't seen him in a while. And I was just so happy to see him. And, you know, guys, I wish I would have gotten some pictures of this party because we had a great time. Yeah. But it was May, and I was in a training for the assistant principal job that I got. And his brother, Mike, called me and left a message, said it's an emergency, call me back. And I called him, and he told me Aunt passed. Mm. And I was like, what? This is crazy. And that one was, that hurt too. That was difficult. I know I had a couple moments where you had to pick me up off the floor because I struggled and, you know, speaking in his funeral, and it was rough. You know, I am led by my faith, but it's hard not to just wonder why sometimes, you know, no matter how strong your faith is, it's like, why does this kind of stuff happen to good people, you know? And then after that, you had some tough moments.
Oh, yeah. So, like, in June, I was at my best friend's wedding, and I believe the morning, what's it, the morning of her wedding, my aunt, who I got my middle name from, Alexis, but we called her Aunt Bunny, she dropped dead. You know, not sure if it was a heart issue or what was going on, but it was very unexpected. My family didn't tell me until after the wedding, because they didn't want to, you know, I guess give bad news per se.
Yeah.
Prior to that. And then I think literally it was maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, my grandmother, my last grandparent, she passed away as well. Under hospice care. So, you know, two different scenarios, unexpected and kind of expected, but still, still a lot, because they were mother and daughter as well. Yeah. So, you know, supporting, you know, our mother as she's grieving her sister and her, her mother as well. So yeah, definitely a lot of back-to-back loss.
And do you feel like with grandma, it was kind of expected, because you know she'd been dealing with a lot for a while, and then your aunt being unexpected,
yeah,
just out of nowhere. Like, do you think one is tougher than the other?
I believe the unexpected losses, you know, I mean, I think both are tough, but I feel like the expected one, you have more time to like prepare per se.
Yeah.
You know, my experience, of course, as you know, because you're my husband, you know, I've worked in end-of-life care, specifically hospice care and palliative care, for several years prior to my current position. So, you know, I have a lot of experience with kind of death and dying, grief, things like that.
Yeah.
So, in dealing with patients who were preparing to die, it was kind of easier to deal with. My job was to support them and support their families and help prepare for their death. The unexpected loss is what I wasn't experienced in, right?
Yeah.
But those are, I think, are the harder ones, because you're initially shocked, you know, when you first hear and you're like, what the heck? And then it's like, especially when you hear a younger person dying suddenly for whatever reason, something happening, especially, you know, your line brother, Emmanuel, you know, who has a whole family, appears healthy, and, you know, and a child in his 30s, just the ideal of perfect health,
you know,
that's a shock. Those are harder to deal with, and it takes more time to, like, recover, because you're like, okay, I wasn't planning for this, but I was planning for this loved one who was on hospice care.
Yeah.
But, yeah. What do you think?
I feel like they're all hard.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, this is your area, your expertise. Like, this is what you've dealt with, you know, in your professional life for a long time. And I don't know, I always tell you, I feel like you're a lot more comfortable dealing with death. You handle it extremely well. Even when, 2 years ago now, one of your best friend's bird passed.
Oh.
And
yeah.
You know, I know you had a couple moments where you broke down, but like you've handled it, and I admire that about you. You handled it so well, such grace. And like me, I'm like a mess, man. Like I'm picking me up off the floor, you know. So, I think they're all hard.
Yeah.
For me, I just I think, because you know, I mean, I'm a person I try to deal with my emotions. So I feel and I let it happen. You know, I don't try to suppress it. So whatever happens in the moment, I just let it come out. And then I feel like it helps me to process it. So, you know, I don't think it's something you ever get over. Grief is just like a constant, ever evolving thing. You know, some moments are more bearable than others, but I think it's something that you're always going to feel and deal with. Like,
I love that. I love that you say that.
Yeah.
It's constant. There's no right way, right? There's no right way to grieve, and
there's no end point.
There's no end point.
There's no end point.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you want to be able to cope.
Yeah.
But at, you know, at the same time, you do want to, it's healthy to cry. It's healthy to release those emotions. Yeah. And for some people, it may be healthy for them, or it may be a way for them to cope, to kind of hold it together and keep it going and pushing through. And it may hit them at different times. It looks different. Grief looks different for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's important to just let people go through their process, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's important to get help with that process, you know? Because sometimes I think when we're dealing with stuff, we kind of try to deal with it by ourselves.
Yeah.
And you feel like very isolated. But death is something we all have an understanding of, because we've all dealt with it in some form or fashion. So, you know, being able to talk to people and express it, I think, is helpful and healthy, you know?
Do you feel like you have to, though? Get help, you know, you said get help. So do you feel like everyone needs to do that?
No, well, maybe not. Maybe not everyone, but I know I do. I know I do. I think some people, like you know, that's what you've done as a professional. You dealt with it, so I think it, for you, is probably easier to deal with. And I also think it's the person that you lose, you know?
Yes.
You know, I think it's the person you lose, because the relationship with the person, because, you know, if it's I think, you know, God forbid, if something happened to me, you might need to get some professional help.
And, heck yeah.
And if something happened to you, I'm going to be...
Heck yeah. Man,
y'all going to have to pull me out the... I'm going in with you. So so I think it also is the person that you lose, but I don't think there's anything wrong with people feeling like they need to get some help to kind of help them process and deal with stuff. I know one thing, especially when Emmanuel first passed, was I did a lot of like questioning, like why, you know? I just did not understand, like, how is this your plan, Lord? You know? Like, Emmanuel on paper did everything that you're supposed to do as a Christian, God-fearing man. You know, he took care of his family, you know, God-fearing man. He was good to people, and then he's just gone, you know? And it's like, when I look at his wife and his kids, I'm like, how can that be your purpose? How can you redeem that, you know? And that was something that I... I ain't gonna lie. Like, sometimes I still struggle with that, you know? But I trust them, you know? Trusting doesn't mean that you're always gonna understand. Trusting just means that you are putting your faith in his plan and his purpose. So, and I tell you, I had to repeat that to myself a lot. A lot. But I do trust them. I feel like no matter what, he hasn't steered me wrong. So,
amen.
I'm gonna, you know, continue to trust in him and his plan.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the important thing, to trust him, because we don't know why things happen. And, you know, I've lost a lot of people within the past, what,
like 10 years, right?
8 years, yeah. If that, maybe. I don't know, 7, 8 years, whatever. All different ages, all different reasons. Traumatic to hospice, you know, to hospice, knowing that they were, you know, illness, they were going to pass away. And it's all been like, what? And, you know, yes, I've worked in end-of-life care for several years, and that was easier. But when it came to family and close friends, those were hard because I have relationships. But like you said, trusting him, because even like, questioning God, I think, like you mentioned, Bird, one of my good friends that I met in college, Bird and I were literally, we had the same exact birthday, It was just a light skin version and a brown skin version of each other, similar personalities. And it's like, wow, you know, I felt myself, I remember she was going through her battle with cancer, and we were 30-something years old. She had 3 kids. We didn't have our son yet. But, you know, I remember talking to her, and she would come to me and talk to me as she was going through treatment. She was going back and forth to the hospital. She was getting sicker and sicker and sicker because I had experience in end-of-life care. And she's like, oh, asking questions. We're talking about it. Came to a point where she was at peace. And I would be strong for her and listen to her. But then sometimes I'm like, gosh, this is not easy. Like, I, you know, death is expected for everyone and for ourselves as well. But this is not easy. And I started to be like, Lord, we're the same exact age. Like, she has 3 children. Yeah. We have so much life ahead of us. Why her and not me?
Why?
You know? Like, like, why? But like you said, it goes back to trusting him. And he has a plan for each and every one of us. He has purpose for each and every one of us. And whether that purpose ends at 2, you know, or 90 something years old. My grandmother was 90 in her 90s, or 30 something years old, or Emmanuel in his 30s. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember you said going to his funeral, like, so many people there, so much impact, so many people he impacted in ways that you didn't even know.
Yeah.
He lived his purpose.
Yeah.
It's all about legacy, right? It's all about purpose. That's what I think it is. So when we start to question God, I think it's important to remember purpose and fulfilling the purpose that he has put us on this earth to do, however that looks like. And if you're touching people, if you're talking to people, you're checking in, you're making someone feel special, you're making known the name of God, the name of the Lord, speaking that, doing whatever he puts you on this earth to do. Like our child, Ajayi, is just filled with so much joy. I think his purpose is to to bring joy to people, and he's doing that even as a baby.
Except when he's hungry.
Except when he's hungry. So that, and thinking of that gives me peace. So when anyone dies, anyone passes, or anyone going through some type of illness or sudden death, it's like, okay, did they fulfill their purpose? And even with your friend, aunt, who I had the pleasure of meeting at your birthday, I'm so happy to have met him finally. Yeah. It was so awesome to hear, and you can share that with his mom. He gave his life.
He had rededicated his life back to the Lord. It's like a month before he passed.
That's wow.
Yeah, so that was
that's awesome.
It was a good feeling to hear that. The stages of grief. So I read somewhere, either I read it or I heard it, like, grief is a natural response to loss. And I think that's true. Yeah. Because when someone means a lot to you, they've impacted your life, the thought of not being with them in the physical anymore, it hurts, you know? So I think that's also indicative of how impactful that person was to other people by how much others grieve for them when they're gone.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah, I do be deep.
You go deeper?
I can go deeper. that's another podcast episode. But yeah, I think you know, sometimes you gotta laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that just shows how much people mean to others when, you know, you grieve for them. So, what are the stages of grief?
Yeah, so the stages of grief, in particular, specifically the 5 stages of grief, that was studied a bit by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It's one of the most popular stages known about grief, and she did, kind of her work was specifically focused on terminally ill patients and studying them on death and dying. But stages of grief can be applied to not only patients who are dying or specifically have found out about a terminal illness and going through those stages of grief, but also can be applied to people who are grieving the death of someone as well, or anything, grieving some type of thing. People tend to go through these stages. So the stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And those stages do not have to be in any particular order.
I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah, so you may see people going through various stages. So even though denial may be listed first, like, you know, once you have found out about your, well, yeah, I mean, you could even express when you found out about those this year that you've lost your friends, you could, you know, I'm sure.
I think my first reaction to both was like, what? No. Who? Nah, I did have denial.
Denial, yeah.
But then I think I went to almost like a depression, because I was, mm-hmm. I felt like I was kind of in the funk for a few months. And then I don't know if I was really angry. I think I was more sad.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if I had the bargaining either.
I feel like that's more, I mean, it could be anyone, but you see it a lot in maybe dying patients as well.
Yeah. It's like a long-term kind of illness thing going mm-hmm. on.
Or short-term.
Mm.
Yeah. You can maybe see that.
So I feel like I had denial, depression.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever got to acceptance. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I accept it because it is the reality. So I guess I could say I've gotten to acceptance, but
yeah,
I know there are some times where when I talk about both of them, I still speak of them in the present tense. So I don't know. Does that mean I haven't accepted it?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think you can accept it in your own way. And to be honest, these stages, you may not even go through all five of them, right? Just like you mentioned, like you did not feel like you had anger, but instead you had more sadness. And I saw that in you as well.
Yeah.
That sadness. But yeah, it can look different in everyone. And acceptance could come. No, it may not come, or it may come years later, you know, or it may come immediately. It all depends, like you said, on how people tend to cope with someone's death.
Yeah.
Some people don't cope well at all at first. It takes them a while. And some people, maybe like me, that have more experience with, you know, death and may come quicker to the acceptance phase. I mean, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
I think it depends. Just like you said, some people come to it quicker, and then some people it takes a while. But I do know for me, I have felt a lot more sadness this year than I try to be a pretty optimistic and positive person, mm-hmm. but there have been times where I'm like, I can't even. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I've
been a lot more down this year. I have moments where I'm just like, I just don't feel upbeat, mm-hmm. and I can't even put on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have had moments though where I think about not even just the two of them, but I think about like your grandma and like when I first met her, mm-hmm. and she was talking about, you know, food in Savannah, how much it sucked, and how she was, and she was cussing, and
Grandma was from the Virgin Islands, and my family moved her to Savannah, which we're not even from. My dad's originally from Savannah, right? But she is an island girl who lived in the north some point and moved back to the islands, and she did not like the food in the south. She didn't think she would step foot in the south, honey.
She did not
but
like
Grandma
that food.
Was ready to go.
Yeah.
She was ready to go.
But yeah, she was. She's 96?
Yeah, I think 96, 97, one of those. Yeah.
I remember, was it last year or the year before, we went down for her birthday. We were down there for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And all of, like, your uncles and stuff, like, they were calling on the phone, and she was talking to them, and one of your uncles, it was either your uncle or cousin, somebody was on the phone and was like, you know, we love you. We hope, we pray that you're here for many more birthdays. And your grandpa was like, I hope not. I'm ready to go.
She was ready to go, honey.
And so I think about stuff like that. And
ready to see her Lord and Savior.
And I think about Bird, and I was like,
she was holding on. She fought to the end.
Yeah. And it's like, I think of happy moments with them.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me feel good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's like, this is a lot of sadness, but there are also moments where I just think about, you know, me and Aunt, you know, before we got saved, going down at Georgia Southern, going to the club or something, doing something stupid. And like, it'll just like make me laugh. It was like a memory would just pop up and it'll just like make me laugh or make me smile or something. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not all bad because all those people have impacted us and they're going to be with us forever. You know?
Yeah. So that brings you, I mean, that brings me to think about impact. So when you think about them, you think about your interactions, your experiences with them, the impact that they made on your life,
mm-hmm.
right? So what are we going to do at our dash?
Yeah. So for me, it's like 1983 to, you know, I think I'm going to live to 93. So I feel like that's what the Lord told me. I'm gonna be here to my 90s, annoying the mess out of you. But it's like, you know, when you think about it, once you're gone, it's like your life is relegated to that dash in between the two numbers, you know?
Isn't that crazy?
Everything you've done, everything you've accomplished, all your successes, your failures, all boils down to a dash, you know? So for me, mine is living on purpose, you know? Purpose on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Lord has called me to impact others, help the youth, show others what he looks like.
Amen.
And that's what I'm going to do until I can't do it anymore. Do as much good as I can.
For as long as you can.
That's right. That's my quote. Don't try to steal it, y'all. But yeah, like I'm going to try to be as impactful as I can to as many people as I can for as long as I can. So that's what I'm going to do with my dash. So when I have my Wakanda Forever funeral,
oh my gosh,
hopefully
y'all.
It's packed out.
Y'all.
And it's people that are going to talk about how I have impacted them and how, you know, they see Jesus through me. Yeah, you like that?
I like that. I do. That's good. That is good.
Thank you, baby.
I'm sorry, y'all. I just had to take it all in.
I could say something, but I won't.
But you won't. But you won't. Yeah, so your dash is good. When I think about dash, so I grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey, and my backyard was literally, y'all, a graveyard. Well, we had our yard and we had the gate, but then it was all just tombstones. Mm. And, you know, and I remember being scared back then, but, you know, and funny how my life turned out. But nonetheless, we would like play kickball and the ball would go over there into the graveyard and then we would go get it. And we walk around. I'm like, huh, you see the person's name, various years, you know, the year that they were born, the year that they died, and that dash.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, wow, what did they do in their life? It makes you just wonder, like, what did they do? Did they live it to the fullest? Did they impact lives, as you said? Did they live it for God? Did they just waste it? Did they just sit around being depressed and sad? And, you know, that happens. That's part of life. Like, what did they do with that dash? So, you know, I love how you described your dash. In my dash, it just like you, I just want to, my goal now, and it's, you know, since I've got saved for real, because I love God, but, you know, actually following him, making him Lord of my life, amen. I want to make sure that whatever I do glorifies him. So whatever that looks like, so in my marriage, it may not, y'all, it may not even be something like grand and big, like you may not be a celebrity, you know, and all of that. Your impact may not look on a grand scale, but it could be on an individual, just, you know, you and I talking, like, even when we, you know, we sometimes volunteer for delivering meals.
Yeah.
That's part of that dash, you know, that's part of impact. Like when I was sitting there with patients who were dying, and helping them, or, you know, supporting them emotionally as they crossed over to hopefully see Jesus, that's part of the impact. As I'm sitting here talking to I don't know, my, as I'm parenting my son, that's part of the impact, preparing him for this world.
Yeah.
Like, I think it can look different in different ways. It may look small, it may look large, but whatever my impact is, I want to make sure that I am glorifying him the best I can and making him proud. Yes, I'll make mistakes. I won't always look perfect, but I want to make sure that God is proud of me, that I'm always turning back to him, even when I do wrong, even when I do, you know, mess up, because it will happen.
Yeah.
Even if I'm following him, right? You know, stuff happens.
Right.
But I want to make sure we're honoring him the best we can. And my goal is to impact women, specifically. Women who were like me, who were lost, or, you know, whatever it looked like, wrong relationships, not, you know, thinking themselves worthy, whatever it looks like. But I want to make sure that they know that they are worth it.
I love that.
And, you know, yeah. So that's one of my main goals. And I want my impact to be on this earth. And hopefully people will remember me in some way, or at least if they don't remember me, remember things that I'm leaving behind. Have it impact them.
Amen.
Amen.
Song of Solomon. Today's Song of Solomon comes from Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Remember to lean on him during your tough times, and no matter what, he's going to see you through.